Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining me here. Chances are you are here because you are seeking something and you want to feel better. You want more of the stuff that makes life yummy. Maybe you've said to yourself or to others, there has got to be more than this. There's got to be a better way. Well, you came to the right place because I found myself saying the exact same things several years ago, and I found a better way, and I'm so much happier, and I'm enjoying my life so much more than I was before. So I hope that you're ready for some interesting information, some things to think about, to look at perhaps, because some of the stuff you might hear tonight might kind of blow your mind a little bit. It may be the first time you've heard these things. And let me just say from the outset, I'm not asking you to believe anything that I say. I'm offering to you my own experience based on the information that I have learned and taken in over the last 25 to 30 years, the practices that I have used based on the information that I have taken in, and my own experiences with these practical tools. I can honestly say that those tools that I offer work. They work if you work them, which I think is an Alcoholics Anonymous mantra, but nonetheless, it's true here as well. So you may have heard of a little something called the Law of Attraction, and it's been a very huge topic for the last 20 years or so, made even bigger by Rhonda Byrne when she wrote her book, The Secret, and that, of course, was put into a movie. The Law of Attraction is a very simple formula. It's a very simple law. There's only three pieces to it, and they are ask for what you want. The second one is that the answer is always going to be yes, and the third one is allow for that which you have asked. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that because they all sort of have their own interesting explanations and nuances, which are important to understand when you're deliberately and consciously utilizing this particular tool. But then I'm going to go on and talk about ways that we maybe stand in the way of allowing that which we have asked for. And so as we go along, if you have questions or you hear something that doesn't quite make sense to you, I want you to hit the number 1 on your telephone keypad, and I will get a little indicator that your hand is up, so to speak, and I can go ahead and open up your mic and we can talk about it. I can answer your question and we can have a little conversation back and forth. I really encourage you to ask questions and to make comments because this is an interactive show. And it is my deepest and greatest intention that the information that you hear on this program will, in fact, give you the tools that you need to change your life, to transform your life for the better, so that you can have more abundance, more prosperity, more wonderful relationships, more joy and more happiness, ultimately more peace of mind, because I think that's really what we're all looking for. Again, this little tool is called the Law of Attraction. And the first aspect of the Law of Attraction is to ask for what you want. And this seems pretty obvious, doesn't it? I mean, it seems pretty obvious that you would be focused on what you want. But it's very tricky because oftentimes when we're focused on what we want, when we're asking for something that we want, we're actually energetically focused on what we don't want. We're afraid that what we want either isn't possible, it isn't going to happen, it isn't going to happen in time, we don't deserve what we're asking for. And so one of the most important things to remember about utilizing this law is that we all have an inner guidance system. Each and every one of us, we come into this world with every single thing that we need in order to have the life we want to have. We just aren't told that we have these things until maybe later on in life, until at some level we start saying there's got to be more than this, it's got to be better than this. but we have everything that we need. My passion in life is to help people become aware of these abilities that they have and how to use them. So we have inside of us what we call our inner guidance system. And the way that we know our inner guidance system is working is we can look at and gauge how we feel. So if you are focused on something that you want, let's say that you want more money in your life, and you're very sure that you definitely want more money, are you feeling as though you don't have enough, there isn't enough, there might not be enough, you may not get enough in time? If you're feeling uncomfortable while you're thinking about what you want, then you're offering what the universe would call a muddy vibration. You're offering what you feel, the way that you feel, is radiated out of you like a radio signal. So however you feel, that is the platform from which you are asking for what you want. So if you're asking for more money, if you're asking for your perfect relationship to show up, if you're asking for the perfect job to show up in your life, and you're feeling badly or uncomfortable while you're thinking about it, then on some level, some very subtle level, you are actually focused on what you don't want because of these beliefs that you have, either that it won't come in time, you don't deserve it, et cetera, et cetera. So the key when you're asking for what you want is to make sure that you're asking for it from a platform of abundance and not lack. So you might wonder, well, how can I ask for something from abundance when I don't believe that I have it? How do I do that? And this is where things get a little bit interesting. And so I'm going to ask you to bear with me for just a moment while I go into an explanation that I will admit took me a while to get my head around, but once I did, things really started quickly. We come into this world from another world that we call the non-physical. We, all of us, are a spark of the Creator here in this physical world, operating within these physical bodies. But our true nature is spiritual beings having a human experience. So we are a spark of the Creator. We are a spiritual being in a physical body to experience the world. And as such, everything around us, including us, including our thoughts, is made up of energy. And so, as we know from our science and physics classes when we were in school, energy is made up of little packets of light called photons, and they vibrate at a certain level. And that includes us. We have an electromagnetic field around us, which can be measured, and we can measure the fluctuations in that field based on our emotional state. So when we came into this world as part of this, of the universe, part of the Creator, I guess the best way I can illustrate it is that the Course in Miracles says that the only difference between us and God is God created us. We did not create God. So when the universe was created, when it came into being, every single possibility already existed in that moment of creation. And so really our job isn't so much to create as it is to attract, to magnetize to us what we desire. So when we are asking for something from a platform, a foundation of, I don't have it, it doesn't exist, then what we're actually offering is the vibrational frequency that says, I don't have it, it doesn't exist. This brings into play the second aspect of the law of attraction, which is that the answer is always yes. So whatever the universe hears, that's what it gives to you. And the language of the universe is how you feel, is your feeling essence. So if you are feeling like you don't have it, then the universe will give you, I don't have it. Does that make sense? It kind of is a little hard at first to get your head around. But everything already exists. And our job, our responsibility, is to get ourselves into a place emotionally where we can believe that while we don't see it in our physical experience right now, that with a little bit of focus and tweaking, it will show up in our experience, and our job is just to sort of get out of the way. My teacher described it to me when I was going through this period in my learning. I said, well, I don't see it. It's not here. I don't see it. And he said, well, when you're outside on a sunny day and the sun goes behind a cloud, does that mean that the sun is gone? And I said, well, no, it's just behind the cloud. I know it's there. I can't see it, but it's because it's behind the cloud, but I know it. And he said, it's the same situation here. Just because you don't see it doesn't mean it isn't there. And the way you bring it into being is by staying in a higher vibrational level, is by staying peaceful and happy, as opposed to turning your attention to, I don't have it, it's not here, it's not going to get here, it won't get here in time. Teachers have said for millennia that what you focus on expands. And so your dominant focus should be thank you. Thank you to the universe for helping you to bring about into physical manifestation that which you desire. That's a more beneficial way to pray. Thank you as though it already exists. Thank you as though it's already here. Because again, when you ask for something, just the process of asking is an indicator that you don't have it. And I know your mind is saying, well, I don't have it. That's why I'm asking for it. This is why these subtleties are important to talk about, because they are a subtle distinction. So again, does anybody have any questions about that? If you want to ask a question or you need more clarification, hit the number 1 on your telephone keypad, and I'll open up your mic and we can chat about it further. So as I said, everything has already been created. In that moment of creation, when the Creator brought everything into being, all possibilities exist. The good, the bad, the ugly, it's all there. And so it's as though it's in another room. And when you are saying thank you for co-creating and manifesting with me that which I desire, it's as though by saying thank you to the concierge, so to speak, the concierge can then send the delivery boy to go into the other room and bring into your life experience that which you are asking for. So that may be a little bit hard to get your head around, but spend some time over the next week or so thinking about that and see if maybe you can shift your perspective a little bit. Because again, the second part of the law of attraction formula is that the answer is always yes. Whatever we ask for, we will get. Whatever we focus on, we will get. Whatever our dominant focus or dominant vibration is, we will receive. So how is it then that we can be asking for something we don't want from the Creator and we get it? That seems sort of antithetical to this idea that the universe wants us to be happy. Why would the universe give us something that we don't want? Well, again, we kind of have to broaden our perspective a little bit and recognize that because we are spiritual beings in a physical body, we are eternal beings. Our body isn't eternal, but our spiritual nature is. Our soul nature is eternal. And because the Creator, the universe, understands this, and has no concept of what we would call time, there is an unwritten understanding that we have all of eternity to experience everything that we want, everything that we choose. So if we continue to offer the vibration of what we don't want, the universe is going to mirror that back to us, because it doesn't have a perception of time, and it doesn't have a perception of, oh no, that's bad, or oh no, that's good, because good and bad are labels that we as physical beings put on experiences and things and situations. And the way that we can know that that is true is because what might be good to you may be bad to someone else. What may be bad to you may be okay with somebody else. It just really all depends on your focus, your how you were raised, what you believe, society has taught you, etc. So whereas one person might get, you know, very excited about something that's happening that in their perception isn't good, someone else may be like saying, you know, I don't know what the big deal is, but that doesn't really make a difference to me. So this is how we can know that labels are something that each of us subjectively attaches to situations and circumstances and things. The universe doesn't have those labels. The universe doesn't have the label of good and bad. The universe just responds to our vibrational offering. It responds to our radio signal. We do have an aspect of self that does say, no, 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 you don't want that. That's not good. That's not going to make you happy. That is that little voice that I was talking about in the beginning of the show. That is the inner guidance system talking to you, so that when you're focused on something that's not going to make you happy, that isn't in alignment with the truth of who you are, which is a spiritual being in a physical body, when you are holding on to and believing and entertaining a thought that's not in harmony with who you really are, that inner guidance system is what makes you feel uncomfortable in the pit of your stomach. That just that feeling of discomfort and dis-ease. And it feels like that because pain is something that human beings often pay attention to. And so, and that's what happened to me. For first 40-some-odd years of my life, I went around with this feeling in the pit of my stomach that the best way I can describe it is like just a low-grade feeling of anxiety. Like I was always waiting for the other shoe to drop. When I was very young, I could work my way through it because I would, you know, I mean, when you're young, your life is very simple. There's very few things that you really need to be concerned about. So I would wake up in the morning with that, and immediately the feeling would come back as soon as I woke up, and I would say, okay, you know, my homework's done, and my parents aren't mad at me, and my room is clean, and, you know, I'd go through the laundry list of things that a seven-year-old should think about. And once I realized everything was fine, I would feel the feeling would lighten up and go away, and I would go on with my day. But as I grew older and my life became more complicated, more responsibilities, more interactions, I stopped taking my daily inventory, and I just learned to live with that feeling until I got to a point where I just couldn't live with it anymore. And I was in my early 40s. I was a single mother, and I certainly didn't want to pass this along to my daughter because I knew how uncomfortable I had been all those years living like this. And so on some level, that was a form of asking for the universe to help me figure this out. Now, I'm going to say something that's sort of the opposite of what I just told you, in that your dominant vibration is what the universe responds to. But even though I was not feeling comfortable, that I had this feeling of dis-ease, because the greater part of me, you know, the part of us that's here, sort of smashed, if you will, into these physical bodies, that spiritual aspect of ourselves is very tiny in comparison to the rest of our spiritual self, which remains in non-physical. And so that vibrational offering is always all is well, joyful, happy, expansive, optimistic. And so that offering is my greater offering. That's my predominant way of seeing the world. And so that was what the universe was responding to. And that's what the universe will respond to in you as well. Even when you feel uncomfortable and dissatisfied and uneasy, comfort yourself by knowing that the greater part of you, which remains in non-physical, is offering a much higher, more nurturing and sustaining vibration. So, as I said, I was asking for help, asking for something better, and that's when I discovered the law of attraction. And when I started to study the law of attraction and apply it, I saw differences in my life almost immediately. And I've been a deliberate and conscious student of the law of attraction now for, 13 years, I guess. It's hard for me to believe it's been that long, but it has. So, back to our formula. The first part of the law is that you ask for what you want, and you have to be, you don't have to be. Let me just change that up a little bit. It benefits you to be focused more on what you do want than on what you don't want. If you're focused a little bit, if you're going back and forth between what you do want and what you don't want, I don't want you to think that you're shutting yourself off, because you're not. You know, the universe is always conspiring with us for us to be happy. And so what we might be able to delay our good for a little bit, but we're never going to be able to stop it altogether. So understand that and derive some comfort from that knowing. And know that with practice, moving forward with the law of attraction, you will get better and better at it. And you'll be able to see the difference in your life. And you'll be able to look back in, you know, 10 or 13 years like me and say, wow, I can see the differences. I can see my life has gotten better. So the first part of the law is ask. The second part of the law is that the answer is always yes. Again, whether we're offering good, bad, ugly, indifferent, wonderful, happy, because the universe is neutral. It's non-judgmental, and it has a knowing that we are eternal beings and we have all of eternity to learn and to grow and to change our minds. So it will let us have that experience if that's what we really want. Now, I think it takes a long time to eventually manifest what you don't want. But then why would you do that? There are some people who have and who do, but I think the system is set up for us. It's set up to support us. The dice are stacked in our favor, let's put it that way. And so the third aspect of the law of attraction is allowing. Once you've asked for what you want, the answer is always yes. And now your job, allowing what you've asked for to flow into your experience. This is where thoughts and beliefs become really important. Our beliefs are what cause us to hold on to certain thoughts that go through our mind as opposed to other thoughts that go through our mind. Our beliefs are like the operating system in our mind's computer. And so it's programmed to look for specific thoughts based on those beliefs. You've probably heard about affirmations, and affirmations can be a really great way to get yourself in alignment with that which you desire. The trick with affirmations is that if you have a belief that's contrary to what you're affirming, you're going to feel that conflict in your body. you're going to feel that tension because you're going to assert your affirmation. I am loved and nurtured and supported by my mate in all ways at all times. And if that's not your current experience, you're probably going to hear that little voice in your head that says, who are you kidding? Who are you talking to? And so that tension in your body is life's way, it's a fail-safe of telling you, okay, you have a belief that is contrary to the affirmation that you're offering. What is that about? When I first started learning about the law of attraction, I had a belief and understanding that it didn't benefit and it wasn't good to look at what didn't make you feel good. And I've come to understand, especially in the last couple of years, that it is in fact okay to look at a belief that you no longer want to hold on to, and you'll know it's there because you feel uncomfortable. It's okay to look at it and figure out where it came from and maybe understand why you have that belief. It's okay to do that as long as you're doing it with the specific intention of letting it go and replacing it with the belief that you want to hold on to. The Course in Miracles says, look at the crucifixion, but do not dwell on it. And this is why looking at where this belief came from, who gave it to me, what does it mean for me, this is why it can be a slippery slope. It's very easy to go down the path of feeling sorry for yourself, blaming someone else for this belief that you have, lamenting all the years you've lost because of the belief, et cetera, et cetera. So there are times, and you'll know as you go through your life, you'll know when there are certain things that you really do, you really would benefit from looking at. Tomorrow, as a matter of fact, is a day that I am dedicating to, for lack of a better expression, putting myself on the crucifix and looking at some things that, you know, after studying the law of attraction for 13 years, I think I've really come down to the bottom of the barrel. And these are deep, deep beliefs that aren't in harmony with who I am anymore. And I'm ready to really take a look at them go. And this is a very, very powerful time that we're experiencing right now in our world and in our cosmos. There's a lot going on in the planets and in astrology and in astronomy that the energy is there to help us let go of what no longer serves us and embrace that which we want to serve us. So one of the most challenging aspects of the law of attraction is the allowing part. And so a lot of the work that I do, a lot of the conversations that I have and a lot of the shows that I've done over the years really is sort of focused on the ways that we don't allow what it is that we, that is ours by divine right. And we do that through beliefs. Some are conscious, some are subconscious. And that's why paying attention to how you feel is really important, because those subconscious beliefs are just that, they're subconscious. They're not in your face. They're not obvious. They're very deep and they're very subtle. And it would almost seem unfair that the system is set up like this, except for, as I said before, these fail-safe methods that the universe has put in place to bring these things to our awareness. Yes, they are what we would call blind spots, but these fail-safes are there to bring our blind spots into our vision, into the light, so we can heal ourselves and move into a happier part of our life. So we've been on this call now for 30 minutes, and I'm just wondering if anyone has any questions, comments, anything they'd like clarified. Hit the number 1 on your telephone keypad, and I'll open up your mic. And while you're contemplating that, I'm going to take a quick sip of water. Very thirsty business.
talking a lot.
Okay, well, I guess I'm making sense. Everyone seems to be they're concurring with me, so I'm going to go ahead and move forward. So, ways that we don't allow the truth of who we are, ways that we don't flow our spiritual nature. Well, there are some that are pretty obvious, common, and easy to spot. Complaining is one of them. When you're complaining about something, especially if you're doing it just to complain or just to vent or for any other reason other than to resolve a situation, complaining is a very low vibrational energy activity, and it can delay your manifestation. Why do we complain? Why do we go to other human beings and complain? Well, sometimes we do it because there's something we think needs to be fixed. And that's a very legitimate reason to vent what it is that you're feeling. We also complain sometimes because we connect with other people much more thoroughly and quickly through experiences of pain. So complaining can be a way of bonding with others. Gossiping is the same thing. I don't think there's ever an appropriate or a right time to gossip. Gossip is harmful most of the time. So I would say if you're looking to find ways to open up your flow, look at how many times you gossip with someone else and maybe see how much of that you can cut back on, because it really isn't a productive use of your time, and it's not the sort of activity that a spark of the divine would indulge in. Another way that we block our flow is by worrying that what it is that we're asking for isn't going to happen, or is it going to happen in time. Worrying is probably one of the biggest wastes of time on the planet. Someone said, I just heard recently, that worrying is like rocking in a rocking chair. You expend a lot of energy and you don't get anywhere. Worrying is a fear-based activity. The opposite of worrying is faith. Faith is a love-based activity. So if you're worrying about something, ask yourself if you might be able to substitute fear or faith for worry. I'll give you an example of what I mean. I recently became an empty nester. My daughter is grown and she's on her own and she lives a few hours away from me. And when she first moved out, I was sorely challenged not to worry about her. It's just been the two of us since she was 14 months old. And so we're very close. Some might even say we are enmeshed. I probably have more of an issue with that than she does. And so as she was growing up, and certainly during this new period of our lives, worrying was an activity that really just kind of came naturally to me. And so I spent some time looking at what I was worried about, why was I worrying? And oftentimes when you take a really close look at why you're in that worry mode, it's all about fear, some type of fear. You can trace it back to a fear about something. You're resisting some experience happening that you really don't want. And of course, as a parent, the ultimate experience that I resist is the death of my child. And so I had several months of putting myself through looking at that. Because ultimately, I have to realize she is a child of the Creator just like I am. She may have come through my body, but that doesn't mean she belongs to me. It was my privilege and my honor to raise her and guide her. But as a soul, she has her own agenda. And she has her own accomplishments and intentions and targets that she wants to meet in this lifetime. And if, God forbid, knock on wood, chewy chewy, part of her soul's plan is an early departure from this physical earth, then my worrying one way or the other isn't going to affect her soul's path at all. And I'm just going to be causing myself a lot of grief and worry and dis-ease in my body. And it's an interesting coincidence that as I was going through this period, I mean, I've never had health issues, you know, my whole life. I developed what did they call it? It wasn't diabetes, but I was pre-diabetic. And having been a student of metaphysics for 30-some-odd years, I have a belief that thoughts are what cause illness within my body. Because my thoughts, when they're not in harmony with the truth of who I am, they put me ill at ease, and that creates dis-ease, which manifests as an illness within my body. And so when I was diagnosed as pre-diabetic, I thought, okay, what have I been focusing on? What have I been looking at that would steal my joy? The pancreas is what excretes insulin and what helps us to deal with the sugar in our body. And so all of our organs are related to certain emotions in our life. Like our liver is related to feelings of anger. Oftentimes when we have issues with our liver, we have unresolved issues of anger and resentment. When we're pre-diabetic, it's because we are, or diabetic, it's because we've allowed something, we've given away our joy. Some would say something has stolen your joy, but you're a powerful being. You're not a victim. You've given your joy away. You just didn't realize you were doing it. And so I focused then on changing my thoughts and not worrying about her and trusting that she's in the hand, you know, the same God that I am, and that all is well at all times. And interestingly enough, coincidence, some might say, the next time I went back to the doctor, that condition had healed itself. So worrying and being angry and resentful and unforgiving are very powerful ways that we block our flow. Unforgiveness is probably one of the most powerful ways that we block our flow. And there's a lot of talk these days about forgiveness and compassion. And we'll cover that in a future call. That could be a call completely unto itself. But forgiveness, learning to be compassionate and forgiving, is one of the most powerful ways to heal your body and to open your flow back up so that you can receive all that is already yours by divine right. You know, because of who you are, because of the truth of who you are, everything that you could possibly desire is automatically yours because of who you are. It's like we're all royalty and none of us recognizes it. It's like that story from childhood about this prince who didn't know that he was royalty. He'd been brought up in a lowly household. And then one day it was revealed to him that in fact he was a prince in line to be king. And it took him a while to adjust. the way that he saw his life and the way he lived, because he had been in this mindset of poverty and, you know, low born. When we start to recognize that we are, for lack of a better expression, we are God in this physical body. Again, the only difference between God and us is God created us. We did not create God. But we are sparks of God in the physical body. So when you look at that and you say to yourself, wow, I have all the creative powers of God, unhappiness and misery should just disappear. Because if you know who you are and that therefore you can be, do, and have anything you want, then all those feelings of misery and woe melt away, right? I mean, that would make sense. And so that can be what this process is about. I found for me personally that the law of attraction was a very important and significant path to my own self-actualization. It was more than just about manifesting a new car or my, you know, a wonderful house. So all those things are fine. There's nothing wrong with desiring material possessions and material conditions. We live in a material world. We are spiritual beings in a material world. So there's nothing wrong with choosing to have those things in our life. The trouble arises when we believe that we cannot be happy without those things. And happiness is a choice, can be a challenging choice, but it is a choice. There are people living in the world today who have nothing, certainly relative to what we here in the United States have in our daily lives. There are people in this world who literally live on less than $2 a day and are very happy and very peaceful. And there are people who are very, very wealthy, who have everything at their fingertips, and they are miserable because they're pinning their self-definition, they're pinning their happiness on something outside of themselves. And ultimately, I think where we're all going, striving to get to, is from happy for good reason to happy for no reason, which, by the way, is a terrific book that I'm reading for the second time now by a woman named Marcy Shimoff, who is the co-author of the Chicken Soup for the Women's Soul series. And recently, I was going through an inventory of my own life of all the things that I had to feel good about because I wasn't feeling as good as I wanted to. I was experiencing some negative emotions. And so I was going down through the list, and because I'm so blessed, I'm so fortunate to have all that I have, the relationships that I have and the possessions that I have and the conditions that I live in. But even in that process, I became aware of how all of those things come and go. And so while it's wonderful and I'm happy to have all of this, those are shifting sands. And anything built on shifting sands is subject to change in the blink of an eye. And I want to get to a place where I'm happy for no reason, because in my purview, that is the truest freedom that there is. One of the most meaningful mantras that I've ever heard about the law of attraction comes from a woman named Esther Hicks, who channels a non-physical entity that calls itself Abraham. And Abraham says, and I'm going to paraphrase, everything that you think you want is because you believe you will feel better in the having of it. And when you realize that you're in control of how you feel, that you can feel happy and fulfilled and excited and fortunate at any time, you can elicit those within your body using your thoughts and your emotions. When you realize you can have those feelings anytime, that is true freedom. And bonus, everything that's in alignment with that will also show up. So you think it's, you want the car, you want the relationship, you want the money, you want the job, because you want to feel better. And you think having these things will make that happen. And that's probably true. But that feeling isn't going to last based on the outward experience of it. And we all know this is true. We've all had this experience where we wanted something and then it shows up and it's wonderful. For a couple of weeks, we're just happy as can be. And then, you know, the bloom is off the lily a little bit. It starts to not be quite as wonderful and happy as it was before, and we're on to the next thing. So that emotion is going to fade. When you pin your happiness, base your happiness on something outside of you, then you're going to sort of be on that roller coaster of up and down, up and down. When you recognize that happiness is an inside job and that you can feel happy and grateful and appreciative anytime, and you decide to make that a priority in your life, I would say it's the priority in your life, then you'll see your life change in wonderful ways, not the least of which is you'll have more peace of mind. The worrying will die down. The anger will die down. The compassion will rise up. You'll be able to forgive more, forgive better. So the law of attraction it's a wonderful way to magnetize material items, relationships, and circumstances into your experience. And it's also a much deeper path to self-actualization. You know, there are many paths to God, they say. And there are many traditions on this earth. Religions, other traditional pathways. But the law of attraction, from my experience, having been a student of it and a user of it and a mentor of it for the last 13 years, I can honestly tell you that if you're considering studying it and utilizing it more deliberately and consciously in your own life, it is definitely a worthy endeavor. I'm not one of these people who does things for a long period of time unless I see the benefit in it. And I not only see the benefit in it, I live the benefit in it. So we've got about 7 or 8 minutes left before this call is finished, before the show is done. Again, I'm going to give you the opportunity to question or make a comment about what you've heard, and I would really encourage you to do that. I want to hear from my listeners. If for no other reason, then oftentimes you give me an interesting way to look at something differently. So press the number 1 on your telephone keypad. I'll get an indication that you have a comment or there's something that you'd like to say, and I'll open up your mic and we can chat. Oftentimes we have something that we want to say, but we can be a little bit of a scaredy cat about it because we don't want to be judged or we don't necessarily want to reveal ourselves. Understand that I can see your phone numbers. I don't know what your names are, so I can't. If I open up your mic, I will refer to you as caller. And so you can be as anonymous as you like. But if you have a question or a comment, strongly would advise you to offer it up, because I could 100% guarantee to you that there are others on this call and who will hear this show in the future who are going to have the exact same offering, but they won't have the opportunity that you have right now. So if you're fearful or wary about asking your question or making your comment, if you can't do it for you, do it for somebody else who's more intimidated by the opportunity than you are. Well, I must be doing something right. I guess everybody is in line with what I've been saying for the last 50 plus minutes. So since we do have about 8 minutes left, I'm going to leave you with some tools that you can use right away, especially if there is some old and antiquated thinking that you really want to move through, but you feel stuck and you're not sure how to do that. So oftentimes there are situations in our life that we're unhappy with and we want to change them, but we don't know how. And so we might say a prayer or have a thought in our mind, you know, I wish that this could be different. And I've heard that affirmations work and I should, you know, change my statement and make it more positive about what I do want. And I've done that, but I feel that tension inside of me. I hear that voice so loud that says, you know, this isn't true and this is never going to happen and you're wasting your time. So one of the tools, a very, very powerful tool that I would offer to you is the willing statement. So if you have a situation that you feel stuck in, one of the most powerful ways to shift that situation is to get quiet. Just sit in a quiet space for a couple of minutes. Take a few deep breaths, you know, so that you feel more calm in your body. That icky feeling in the pit of your stomach is what we call resistance. And when you're offering a positive affirmation, but you're hearing the voice saying, you know, that's not going to happen, who are you fooling? That feeling that you're experiencing is what we call resistance. Your subconscious mind is resisting what your conscious mind is affirming. And one of the easiest and quickest ways to shift that is to, again, get quiet, take a few deep breaths, feel the resistance release in your body, and from a place of peace say, I am willing to see this situation differently. Or, I am willing to believe that I am attracting more money. I am willing to believe that the perfect relationship is manifesting for me now. I am willing to believe that the perfect job is manifesting for me now. That may feel better to you than saying, I am manifesting the perfect mate now. Because again, that's when we can get that little voice saying, no, you're not. Who are you kidding? Who are you talking to? There's nobody out there. It's just you. You're all by yourself. The I am willing statement releases that resistance. You're no longer fighting against it. You're also admitting that, you know, you don't know how it's going to happen. You don't know how it's going to come about, but you're willing to believe that it is. Very powerful. I have been using it myself very deliberately and consciously in this last week. And I have a tremendous breakthrough today. And I can say from a place of knowing, not believing, but knowing that I am willing statement is incredibly powerful and it works. It will really help you to move blocks through your experience. to help you to move those blocks out of your life. So we're coming down to 4 minutes now left in the program to thank all of you who joined me here on Blog Talk Radio today. I would like to call your attention to my website, which, by the way, is being refurbished, but it's still up and on the web. It's maryjobull.com, and there are a couple of pages on there about the law of attraction. If you want more information about the law and how it works and why it works, I would encourage you to visit those pages because it gets more deeply into the nitty-gritty of energy and vibration and vibrational offering and energetic expression. It might help you to clarify a little bit more about that. I also would ask you to take a look at my Sunday blog. I just put my latest Sunday blog up on Sunday, and it's about beliefs and how beliefs run our lives. And so when we don't consciously recognize what we believe, or more importantly, what we believe that isn't working for us, that can cause some mayhem and chaos. And that blog offers some ways for you to change your beliefs. You can do that. You have not only the right, but the power to change what you believe. And no one else has to validate you or believe these things along with you in order for them to be true. You have the ability to take back your power and change your life for the better by changing what you believe. So, again, at maryjobull.com, click on the My Blog page. I had an earlier blog that's also on there. If you're interested in some of my older stuff, wanting to do a little light reading, there's all kinds of information there to review and look at on the law of attraction and on self-actualization. So I encourage you to take a look at my website. And also, if you have a comment or a question, click on the contact page and send me an email. I love to hear from people who have listened to my shows or read my blogs, especially those who have questions. Because, again, oftentimes you give me another way to look at something that I didn't see. And I'm always loving to look at things in a new way. Tomorrow is Good Friday, and this weekend is the Christian holiday of Easter. For those of you who celebrate that holiday, I hope you have a wonderful weekend with family and friends. For those of you who don't celebrate that holiday, I wish you a wonderful weekend, and I hope I've given you something to think about as you go into your weekend and maybe something to converse with those around you. Have a terrific week, everybody, and hopefully I will see you back here next Thursday here on Blog Talk Radio. Have a great weekend, all. Good night.